Welcome to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM, WLXG. That is the wonderful and one of the greatest men I've ever had the opportunity to meet, and he is on the show today, John Gaver. I'm so excited to have a six-time Grammy Award, three-time Academy Award winner, Burt Bacharach, on the show today.
I noticed your voice took like a decibel down. Just kind of, maybe we need to get the cool vibes of the 70s kind of going with Mr. Bacharach. I was digging the vibe there, and I'm really excited as well. Easily probably the most famous person I'll have ever spoken to on the telephone anyway. So I'm psyched. It's great. We're psyched for a big show today.
Yeah. Now we also have Sophie Doyle, the female writer that is really gaining respect rapidly in the jock standings all around Kentucky.
She's a very hard worker. She's ridden a few winners for me, but rides a very smart race out there every morning, galloping and breezing horses. She's be great to talk to her. One of the more respected female riders in the country. I'd go out on a limb and say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have on the show today Bob Elliston from Keeneland. He's the vice president of racing and sales. And we got Keeneland coming up on Monday. And that is probably the number one sale in the world.
No doubt about it. We were out there yesterday having lunch in the place. I mean, the weather's been just unbelievable lately, and the place looks great, as it always does. But if you're a horse trainer and or aspiring horse trainer, you probably want to be out of Keeneland at the sales with an extensive client list of people there, who across the pond and beyond.
What are they offering about 6,000 horses?
I think it's like 4,100. But, that's plenty. And the pedigrees are just crazy. I mean, Tappet City, Scat Daddy City, half the Tappet in there. I saw all kinds of full the Caravaggio and just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we get to all of that, and we have the news with Milena Balbo. Milena, how are you?
Thank you, Frank. The Turf Showcase Selected Yearling Sale, presented by Woodbine, billed as North America's first yearling sale for horses with turf appeal, kicks off this afternoon at Fasig Tipton's Newtown Paddocks in Lexington, Kentucky. 171 yearlings have been cataloged for the auction, including hip number 101, half-sister to Grade 2 stakes winner Parading by Warfront. Other top sires represented in the sale include English Channel, Kitten's Joy, Malibu Moon, and Scat Daddy. The sale begins at 4 p.m. Eastern today. Keeneland's September yearling sale, considered to be the top yearling sale in the world and a barometer of the thoroughbred industry in general, will begin tomorrow with 4,139 horses cataloged for the Mammoth Auction. Keeneland's 2016 yearling sale saw decreases in total receipts, average price, and median price compared with 2015. Selling 2,792 yearlings, up 1.7%, for total receipts of $272,890,500, down 3%, an average of $97,740, down 5%, and a median of $40,000, down 20%. A Son of Scat Daddy, consigned by Clarkland Farm, was the highest-priced horse of last year's sale. MV Magnier purchased the colt for $3 million on behalf of Coolmore. The sale commences tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern and will span 12 sessions from September 11th to September 23rd. With Hurricane Irma expected to breach Florida with Category 5 winds this weekend, about half of the horses at Gulfstream Park and Gulfstream Park West have been shipped north, according to Bill White, president of the Florida Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association. While half of the horsemen have elected to stay put in South Florida, the other half have shipped their stock to Palm Meadows Training Center or other locales away from the coast. Kim Rice Wingo, who set a single season record for wins by a female rider in 1975 when she won 231 races, passed away at the age of 60 on August 27th in Ocala, Florida. Along with her husband Bobby, Rice Wingo worked with young standouts Thunder Gulch and Yes It's True at the couple's Wings Ranch in Ocala. Kent Sterling, the first executive director of the Florida Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, who took on a national role regarding regulation of medication in horses, died on September 6th from cancer. He was 72 years old. And in racing today, the field for this afternoon's third running of the $200,000 Dueling Ground Oaks from Kentucky Downs in post position order from the rail out is as follows. Daddy's Little Darling with Julian Leperu up, Lift Up, ridden by Florent Giroux, Summer Luck with Jose Ortiz Jr., La Manta Gris with Jose Lescano, Thrice, ridden by Tyler Gaffalione, Holiday's Angel with Alex Canchari, Quebec with Drayden Van Dyke, Gentle Kitten, ridden by Robbie Alvarado, Point System with Edgar Prado, and Lantese with Corey Lannery in the saddle. And the field for today's fourth running of the $350,000 Exacta Systems Dueling Grounds Derby, also from Kentucky Downs in Franklin, Kentucky, in post position order from the rail out, is as follows. Giant Payday, ridden by Chris Landeros, Bronson with Tyler Gaffalione up, Big Bend, ridden by Drayden Van Dyke, Society Bow with James Graham, Parlor with Julian Leperu in the saddle, Watch Me Whip, ridden by Robbie Alvarado, Holiday Bonus, ridden by Edgar Prado, Gorgeous Kitten with Florent Giroux, Mugs-O-Matic with Luca Panici, Hollow Point with Jose Ortiz Jr., and Capture the Glory rounds out the field, ridden by Dick Cardenas. And that's it this week, gentlemen.
And I would just like to say that our hearts and prayers go out for all of those down in Florida. We wish them all safety, and all our friends, all our animals, and you know, all our animal friends and everyone in general.
No doubt about it. Our hearts and prayers are, we send them out to you down there. I know this morning's pretty rough in South Florida and going to get worse probably before it gets better, but it will get better. So
absolutely.
Everybody be safe down there. We're thinking about you up north, all the horsemen and everybody in general.
And we've opened a lot of doors for the horses. You know, if you are wondering what is going to happen if you come up north, you will find a bed and a stall and anything else you need. That's nice that everyone comes together. So great.
No doubt about it. Unfortunately, it seems like tragedy has to happen for that to occur sometimes, but it's great that it does. I know the horse park is opening up stalls and several places on Facebook and Twitter. There's all kinds of, if people need to get their horses or people for that matter, more importantly, out of Florida and up to a higher ground, there's certainly outlets out there for that.
Sure. And I'm not sure about, I don't even know why anyone would stay down there, but I wonder about those horses that are staying at Gulfstream and you know, we pray for those.
No doubt about it. As you know, it's pretty close to the water there and the facility in general. And, you know, it's a dangerous, you know, time for certain. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open on the news and cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah. So meanwhile, we're going to go off to break here on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. I am Frank Lyons. You're on with me and John Gaver. We'll be back.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
We gotta let this play a little bit.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio. 1300 AM WLXG. That's great to listen to.
It's hard to follow up, Frank. You did a good job there. I would hate coming in like right behind.
Look, we can make it up because we got Bob Elliston on the phone right now.
I can't follow that. Are you kidding me? No way. I need a more break. Put some more break in there.
We got the vice president of racing and sales at Keeneland. You got a big sale coming up, Bob.
Oh, my. These last couple of days have gotten my blood flowing watching all these folks looking at these beautiful horses on our grounds.
Yeah.
4,200 horses approximately going to be selling over the next 12 days, but kicking it off with maybe 165 of the best horses in the entire world on our grounds right now going to the market on Monday.
I see you got 23 tappets in that first book of 161. You've also got in Australia, first yearlings for Australia. They'd be particularly interesting. And you've also got a Frankel in the sale. So you got it pretty much all in the first 161 hips, the hip numbers.
Well, that's right, Frank. I mean, you're not going to have 167 of the best horses in the world and not have a bunch of Tappets, a bunch of Warfront, a bunch of Medaglia Dioras. But that's what's beautiful about this sale is you do have some incredible other stallions represented, like what you mentioned, like Invincible Spirit. Yeah. There's an Invincible Spirit. There's an Orb in there. There, you know, there's Flatters. There's all kinds of wonderful stallions at every level. But the beautiful thing about it is the every single one of these horses, the physical on them is tremendous. These are tremendous athletes. That's why they're in this first book and covered by great stallions, proven stallions like that, but also up-and-comers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be what you would call the select of the select? I know book one always at September is chock full of just great prospects, racing prospects. Would these first 165 horses be the creme of the creme, so to speak?
It would. In actuality, though, I think, John, and we were the first 1,200, and that was a goal of ours in the format. There were two things we wanted to do with the new format that we had. One, leave the starting gate at 21-2.
Right.
With an incredible 167 up front. But the other thing was we have a lot of principals from around the world. That's what's unique about the Keeneland sale is there's going to be almost 40 countries represented at our sale over the next 2 weeks. But the principals themselves, Sheikh Hamdan, Sheikh Mohammed, the folks from Ireland, the folks from California, the folks from South America, they all have many responsibilities, and so we want to make sure that as many of the very best horses are in front of them to maximize the time they can spend with us. So that 1,200 we're going to sell in the first week over the first 4 days of the sale, they're incredible.
Yeah.
They are among the very best in any sale in the world. But the point is, the first 167 are the bulletproof horses that are really going to get us out of the gate in high fashion.
Sure. Now, Bob, it's a little intimidating for those folks that might be just listening and might be going to, you know, thinking about getting into business. And can you tell me about some of the bargains that have exited Keeneland?
Goodness. Yeah. I mean, I guess everybody goes back, Frank, to, you know, what did Seattle Slough sell for?
17,000.
17,000.
Real quiet.
What more recently was it Gunnavera?
Yeah.
Gunnavera is one of the top three-year-olds in the country. I think he went through, Antonio Sano got him for $15,000
right.
2 years ago. So there are opportunities for everybody at this. I'll give you one. Before I worked at Keeneland, I can't do it now, but before I worked at Keeneland, the first horse I ever bought myself was $1,500 out of Book 5 at Keeneland. The horse went on to win a stake and win about $200,000, and I had a ball.
Yeah.
And so even a guy like me who just got into business 20 years ago had an opportunity to have fun at whatever level you want to.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what this sale offers, perhaps like no other sale. There's something in there for a king, and there's something in there for a pauper, and everything in between.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, who are some of the first yearling sires to look out for?
Well, I think there's a bunch up and down the line.
Yeah.
I think, you know, these Noble Missions are fun.
Really?
I mean,
full
you know, he's a
full
full to Frankel. And my guys that have been out there inspecting yearlings all summer long really think they carry tremendous bone. They have good confirmation. They're big, thick horses that look like they may want to go around a ground classic type horses. I would say he's one to look after. I hate to pin them all down because that's the beauty of I think this last group of first year sires are really, really precocious, and there's some folks who are really excited about them, and I'd probably be doing justice. I've done them all unjust because I mentioned Noble Mission, but there's tremendous excitement out here about him. You know, I mean, obviously, they're still coming with the American Pharaohs and the Pioneer of the Niles, and we'll take charges, and you know, they're just tremendous opportunities.
There is a lot of good sires around right now.
It seems like it, and young sires as well. Orb kind of comes to mind. He's kind of stamping himself as, I hate to, you know, pigeonhole him as a turf sire, but he gets some nice turf runners. They're pretty precocious, and which is strange.
They've been
well
received at the yearly market.
I mean,
look at what's happened, you know, at the prior sales this year. I mean, he's killed it. He was one of the top ones, I think, up in New York at the select sale up there in terms of what his progeny brought up there. So, and we only got one in book one, but I think we got 53 orbs in all of them.
Wow. Plenty to be had, I'm sure.
Now, how's the stress level around the office, Bob?
Well, it's 73 and sunny. It's beautiful day. There's plenty of people on the grounds. My walk through the barns, all of our customers, meaning the consigners, the breeders, the owners, and the sellers, are all pretty happy, which makes me happy. So, you know, it's ready to go. Everything we could prepare for is in place. Now we just kind of put out small fires here and there, but you know, the game is set. It's ready to go. The folks are in town, and the breeders and the consigners have done a tremendous job bringing tremendous stock to the market.
And the weather is incredible.
It is now. Let's keep that storm down in Florida out of here. I think we're expecting a little rain, maybe
on
not
Tuesday,
till Tuesday or Wednesday. And we're obviously thinking about all the folks in Florida, including, you know, in the middle of the state. Ocala is a huge horse area.
Sure.
They look like they may get a bunch of rain too, so we're thinking about those folks and everybody across that part of the world. So.
Yeah. Okay, Bob. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Bob, and we'll be out there cheering and hopefully bidding on some.
Thanks for having me, guys. You're more than welcome all the time.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Bob Allison,
take care,
guys. And now we've got to go to break here on WLXG, ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. John Gaver, Frank Lyons. We'll be back. Welcome back to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. You are listening to Burt Bacharach, and on the line right now we have Sophie Doyle. Sophie, how are you?
Hi there, I'm good, thank you, Jeff.
Yes, very good. So Sophie Doyle is a very Irish name, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, of course you got to bring that up.
Yeah, you know, that's
I'm with
that's
you.
Pertinent.
I'm down.
And Sophie, so what made you come to the U.S.?
I decided a few years back in 2013 or 2012, actually, that I realized that, you know, things back home in England with the racing was getting a lot tougher, and the prize money situation wasn't great. So I decided that I'd move over to America and just begin to reestablish myself as a jockey and just try a new adventure for myself.
Yeah. Now, how old are you, Sophie?
Is that right to ask?
You, what?
Not right there.
Okay. So, how old are you?
31.
You've got a long life ahead of you.
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah.
Sophie, how many horses did you get on this morning before you went down to Kentucky Downs? Did you breeze a few?
Yeah, actually, I got on 8 this morning.
She's one of the hardest workers that I know on the backside. She tries really hard and is a great rider. Frankie, I know you've seen her.
Sure,
very great judge of pace and very hard worker. Rides a very smart race. So, how you like riding Kentucky Downs, Sophie? Do you like it all right?
Yeah, thank you, John. I absolutely love riding Kentucky Downs. It's as close to being back home as I can get, being in America. And the first day, Wednesday, when we raced first day, it was just so nice to be able to sit and relax on a horse and let the horse do the work for you and then just try and get them to do their best. And, you know, obviously trying to pick the right ground to run on, because the ground was pretty soft the first day, so you had to pick your ground pretty wisely and try and get the most out of your horse as much as you could.
Right.
Do you think it's an advantage to have a European background down in Kentucky Downs? I would say it is.
It is definitely. I think European jockeys were used to obviously being a lot more relaxed on our horses and letting our horse find their feet. And the difference is, though, riding American horses, they're not used to being on turns for so long. So they do switch their lead quite often with you. And I've had to adapt a way of riding them and realize that I'm better off to let the horse just find his own feet across the ground. Let it, if he wants to switch lead, let him go ahead and, you know, let them be comfortable.
Sure.
It's a lot different than riding on the dirt, where you need to have them a little bit more tighter in the bit. Your lead changes are a bit different. On the turf, you just get to enjoy yourself and just have fun. And remember, just try and win as much as you can.
Now, are you a very, are you an overly competitive person, Sophie?
I think every jockey out there is overly competitive, sure.
It's true. Kentucky Downs is a cool place. It's got a great atmosphere down there, doesn't it, Sophie? It's pretty laid back.
It is. It's so nice. It's relaxed. It's chilled. Everyone, you know, everybody's got their families and the children out there, which is really fun and exciting. And it's probably one of the most courses that when you go out to the post parade, you're right there by the public.
Yeah.
You're so close. And they get a good view of the action, too. They're so close to the rail.
Yeah.
You know, they really get to watch everything, and it's nice for them to be able to see a turf track like Kentucky Downs, and they can be right there at the finish line and watch everything going on a turf track instead of most American tracks having the turf on the inside.
It's a good point.
They get to enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah, I was down there for the very first time the other day on opening day, and I tell you, I thought that was just a tremendous track. That was a tremendous day out.
Oh, it's cool. It's a good spot. Now, what about you're going to ride Keeneland, I know, and Churchill, I guess, has got a little meet coming up. What about this winter?
Yeah.
Are you going to go back to Fairgrounds? I saw that you got a new agent, I think.
Yes, I do. I've decided to pick up Rick Marklin when I go back down to Fairgrounds this winter. He actually discussed with a couple of people who had taken me last year, but he had a few life things. Two things going on in his life, like having two back surgeries that he wanted to take care of.
Wow.
So he took a year out, and we said we'll meet up again when I came back this winter. So we had a talk about it, and I think it's probably the right move, because obviously he's one of the top agents down there in Louisiana, and he's a lot of good business. So with my Kentucky business and his Louisiana business, it should be a good mix.
No, that's great. Yeah, he's a veteran guy. I swear, I think that he actually used to call the races at Kentucky Downs. I know he was
like a
race caller for a while.
Yeah.
And I want to say, this might be way off base, that he's like in a band as well.
Huh.
Well, yeah, he is as well.
So he's like a jack of all trades. That's pretty cool. No, I think that's a great move for you.
I'm sure he'll be out, say to me, I need you out in the morning. And I'll probably have to go out in the evening and support him doing his band too, which is all good fun.
Yeah,
part
absolutely.
Of being down there in New Orleans.
He is with the band The Prevention, which they are known to be better than The Cure.
You gotta watch him on the jokes. I gotta tell you. No, but New Orleans is awesome. It's a fun town. It's gotta be great to spend the winter there.
Now,
it is, definitely, and I've just I just got finally persuaded my mum to come and join me, Jackie.
Awesome.
Out there for 5 weeks, so
she'll
really excited.
Have the time of her life.
Now, I was going to ask you how she's doing. She's a really cool mom to have. And what about your brother James? How's he getting along?
Yeah, rides for Godolphin, right?
He's had a fantastic season this past season back in England. He hit the ground rolling when he came back from Australia for the winter, and it just hasn't stopped. He's just kept progressing all season long, and it'd be really interesting to see what new contract Godolphin come up with him, which is due to come at the end of this season. So it'll be an interesting time for him, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of adventures of his own to go on.
Sure. That sounds great.
Now, do you get advice? Do you give advice to your brother? Do you get advice from your brother? Or how often do you guys talk?
At the moment, we're so busy with our lives that sort of when my day gets going, James is halfway. Going into the day. He's just started racing for the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then when he's finishing up and going out to dinner, I'm racing for the afternoon. So we're kind of, you know, we text back and forth with each other, but we don't get to speak as often as we used to.
That's
but
life,
we're
Sophie.
Always on hand, like any brother and sister, yeah. Always on hand for each other to help each other out.
Yeah. Well, Sophie, we wish you the very best of luck. And by the way, you're the very first female guest that we've ever had on this show, which I don't know what was keeping us.
I'm not sure what kind of honor that is, but we're glad to have you nonetheless. It's good catching back up with you, Sophie.
Sure, definitely. If you need another female again, I should come back on again.
Yes, okay. Sophie Doyle, everyone.
Take care. Good luck
today. Take care, Sophie.
Sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye. Now we got to go off to break here on 1300 AM ESPN Radio. We will be back.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio. I'm very proud, I'm very honored to have one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life on the phone right now, Bert Bacharach. How are you, Bert?
You're flattering me.
Oh, you deserve to be flattered, my friend.
Making my day, Frank.
Oh, you know, we've known each other a long time now, Bert.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. You know, before we start on this interview, I just want to tell you that in the Super Derby today, which was one of the biggest races run on today's card, now it's a little bit cheaper, but the favorite is Out of an Afternoon Delight's Mare.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
8-5.
Odds are 8-5.
Yeah.
And they're not Louisiana bred horses. Is anybody, right?
Yeah, it's anyone's race. In fact, he's not a Louisiana-bred
open company.
No, but he did stand in.
Oh, he did stand in Louisiana.
Yeah,
and he's still alive, right?
Very much on the old farm and
old friends.
Yeah, old friends.
Oh, that's right. That's really cool.
Now, Bert, your very first job in the music business, you told me one time, was at a studio. And who are the guys that you are working with?
Well, my first job was at like a famous famous music,
yeah,
which was Paramount Pictures, publishing firm in New York, and it was the famous Brill Building that everybody 1619 Broadway, and I remember being on the sixth floor and the fifth floor. Jerry Moss worked in the stock room of a publishing firm named George Paxton.
Yeah.
I think Moss was making $60 a week.
Wow.
And I was making $50 a week.
Wow.
That's how we first met.
Yeah.
And Jerry left that firm and went out to California and became a very good promotion man. He actually worked on Dion's first record on Don't Make Me Over.
Wow.
And did a great job.
Yeah. Of course, the owner of A&M Records and Zenyatta, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
Yeah. And then Merv Griffin was also there, wasn't he?
Merv Griffin early, yeah. Merv Griffin was, you know, when you look back at Merv, besides being a good friend, he was as good as it gets interviewing anybody on the...
television.
Yeah, on his show, because... Well, he listened. He wasn't thinking about what he was going to say next. He was listening to what you had to say, and he was a perfect host.
Yeah. Now, you were in the winner's circle at Del Mar a couple of weeks ago. How was that?
Well, it took a while, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens in this game, you know, Bert.
Yeah. But we didn't have a bad meet. I mean, actually, for us, we ran three times, three different horses. And finished first, finished second, and finished third. So,
not a bad meet.
That's better than what we've done.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
No complaints, because you know, like when Jane, my wife, came into my life, would become my wife. She first came from Aspen.
Yeah.
She, you know, didn't know much about racing, and you know, she thought every year was going to be like that first year together.
Yeah.
Soul of the Matter goes to the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. And then next year, Afternoon Delights. goes to the Kentucky Derby.
She thought this was an easy game.
And then like maybe 3 years, 4 years later, we're trying to win races with 12.5 claimers.
And so you had also had Heartlight number one, and she was the Eclipse Award winner, right?
She did win for Best Filly of the Year. That was, she was an incredible horse.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere that you actually didn't write music for, I guess, a while she was running. You were so caught up in her career.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because we wrote that song, Turn On Your Heartlight. I was married to Carol Bayer Sager at the time, and we had written the song Heartlight that Neil Diamond recorded.
It
had this huge hit.
Wow.
So, I knew nothing at the time. Education with Charlie Whittingham was my friend. I learned nothing. He showed me nothing.
Yeah, spent a lot of money.
He just said, one day he said, where'd you get that condition book, boy?
that's great. Yeah, show up with your wallet open and keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut, exactly. I remember one of the greatest things that Charlie ever had was some guy asked him, he said, how much do you charge a day to train, Charlie? And Charlie says, well, it's 65 a day if I train him, 110 if you do.
Charlie was a very good friend. I remember running an Argentine horse that we had that we'd brought up with a couple of terrible Argentines. This wasn't a bad one, just okay.
Yeah.
First level allowance race at Hollywood Park. And Charlie, and as I say, solid friend. He'd come to my concerts in Lake Tahoe, and we drank and, carry on. He lived in the next house to us in Del Mar. Charlie, we're in this race. What kind of chance? What are our best shots here? Do we have a good one? And he said, boy, if you're in the race, you have a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I find out that he's given that horse to his brother Joe, to Charlie Wacker, Fred Astaire. Everybody's in on the horse except me.
That's not right.
Hey, you can't be telling your neighbors. Come on. Now, Bert, are you still touring?
Yes.
Yes?
That's awesome.
You know, there was a period where we took off with a broken arm from last summer. But we came back and did our first concert back. These are concerts that we had to make up in the fall. And we played Royce Hall. And that was very emotional. Get back on stage again after 6 months, 7 months off. And then we played San Francisco, and we've done seven concerts so far.
Really? You are just the most incredible man. Your love for the music industry is, no one can compare to you.
Well, thank you, friend. There are some exceptional people out there.
Well, I know. Well, I guess you're at the top with many, I would say. But in 2012, you received the Library of Congress Gershon Prize, where you got to play for the President Obama in the White House. How was that?
And wow.
That was incredible, and got to sit next to him in the very small room while Stevie Wonder sang my songs and Sheryl Crow. And it doesn't get better than that.
No.
Because, you see, that's a great honor to get the Gershwin Award for me. That more than, I've won the 3 Academy Awards, but with an Academy Award, you are getting, you're getting honored for one specific work.
Right.
It may be for a song, maybe for the score, like with Butch Cassidy, it was the song and it was the score.
Yeah.
But the Gershwin Award honors your whole span of your music.
Yeah.
All you've written, not just one specific. So it was a great time, and having the kids with me and
And who are the other winners of the Gershwin Award?
Well, you've certainly got Carole King, and you've got Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Paul Simon?
Definitely Paul Simon.
And Stevie Wonder.
You got it.
Yeah. And that are the only people to ever get the Gershwin Award.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this year it's very interesting. They're giving the Gershwin Award not to a songwriter.
Yeah.
But to Tony Bennett.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
As a performer who performed and made so many songs, what they became popular. And,
sure.
And so, let me not leave out Diana Krall, because she was also on the program for me.
Yeah.
On the Gershwin Award. And she's just great. So it was one of those moments in time, you know,
yeah.
that always be grateful for yeah. and always remember and never forget
yeah.
where it all started, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
does it, $50 a week, you know?
Yeah. What would you say to people that, when you look back upon your life and you think about the most important thing to let everyone know, you know, a bit of advice on how to live life, what would you think it is, Bert?
Well, you got to stay in the moment, mm. you know, and appreciate every I mean, we don't do this when we're in our 30s, yeah. 20s.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and we're chasing our career, or chasing our business, so we don't have time for time spent
yeah.
with children. and you know, for me, it was late
yeah.
having these two kids with Jane.
Yeah,
but that's magic time, and
so
having Oliver on the road.
Yeah. Like,
he's 24 now.
Yeah.
And he's been on the road the last 4 years. He's learned how to play 6-7 songs.
Yeah.
And it's not how well he plays fine.
Yeah.
It's the joy of having yeah. that contact and being together and that feeling that, and, you know, we've had just great moments together.
Yeah.
You can't manufacture that. You can't make it happen either.
No, sir.
Yeah. Now, when Oliver only learned the piano when he was 19, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did some on the computer. Then I'd teach him a chord a day, but I never pushed him.
Yeah.
Never, you know, you should do this, take a lesson here. Let him make the decision. He'll
yeah, yeah.
take a lesson. He'll take a lesson.
Yeah.
And Raleigh is this dream girl. Who's back in South Carolina. You know, she competed very well show yeah. jumping this summer when she was out here.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Huh. And she's in her last year of college.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
happened so fast.
That's happened
right?
so fast. Oh,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, what is it about racing and compared to music? What gave you the thrill about horse racing? What kept you in it?
Well, number one, you can't control it.
Yeah.
Music, maybe I can control what goes on in the studio.
Yeah.
And also, it taught me to not deeply fall in love with a horse. That's very, very risky.
Yeah.
Because they don't...
They don't last.
They don't last.
Yeah.
And I know Solomon that broke my heart, you yeah. know, when she broke down before the Pacific Classic.
Yeah.
And I think we would have beaten Cigar in that race, but could-haves don't matter.
Yeah.
The other third thing about it is you are, you know, you don't own the horse. It's, you got to go to a position of being like a custodian, you know?
Yeah, certainly.
And be very privileged, like having a painting, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You just have custody of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's much more sensible, and you got to remind yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the days my horse can beat your horse, the match races, no.
Yeah. Huh. Now, what's your favorite moment in horse racing?
It may have been a race that we didn't win, and we almost won the first
World Cup
in Dubai. Where?
Now, were you there? Did you go?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we came from out of the pack, and Gary Stevens rode, and we got right.
You got your head in front of him.
Yeah, and then
it was a great race.
Yeah,
and then something happened to Cigar. He just kind of like grew. He got larger, you know.
Yeah,
and he had that thing left. But so many of these horses come back because Soul of the Matter broke down at Del Mar after that World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cigar never was the horse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, so turning tables completely now, you had the great pleasure of working with Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah. And can you tell me about, you told me about him going in the bathroom and coming out?
Yes. Michael, it was the time that I was married to Carol Bayer Sager.
Yeah.
And on Carol's album that she was doing for Neil Bogart, where we collectively wrote all the songs together, and she was doing a duet with Michael, and I had written the a nice song. I liked the song. I had written the orchestration and was working with the band when Michael arrived at the studio, and he heard it a totally different way, and he took the guitarist, and they went into the bathroom, and away from the musicians, away from the string players and everything, and just worked with a guitarist, and came up with a totally different concept for the song in a very short period of time, you know, maybe inside a half hour, it came out. And it was way better than any concept that I had on the song.
Wow. That is great. Bert, it's been a great pleasure. And it's been, Jane, I send my love and all your kids, your beautiful kids. And you are the greatest, my friend.
Frankie, you're my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Bert Bacharach, everyone. So, John, that's it for another week. We've had a wonderful show. Bert Bacharach, Sophie Doyle, Bob Elliston.
A wide range.
Wide range.
Of folks, for certain. I mean, that was really cool talking to Bert Bacharach, and had some great, pretty acute memories there of the Dubai World Cup. That was a great race.
Oh, great race.
I mean, he runs, had his head in front.
Definitely had his head in front.
No shame in that at all, and it's really cool to kind of get some of his, you know, background on how he got interested in racing.
Yeah.
And he's been in the game a long time. I learned a lot, actually, listening to him.
Yeah, but he's been a great man, and he's had some life, incredible life.
He's
voted one of the most beautiful people by People Magazine in the world.
He was married to Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson,
I don't know, worked together with Marlene Dietrich, I was reading. I don't know if they were married or not. I don't believe so, but I mean, like you open up like the Wikipedia on Bert Bacharach, and it's like, you better pack lunch.
And the woman that he's married to these days, Jane, is the most wonderful woman you've ever met.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, he sounded really good, too. I mean, for,
88.
88. I was going to say he's no spring chicken, but he's got, like, the coolest voice.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very Southern cow.
Let's try and get out of the show using his voice.
Let's just try to get out of the show.
So, all right. So, thank you very much, everyone, for listening.
Thanks a lot for tuning in.
Sunday morning. And again, we wish everyone in Florida, we're praying for you, and hope everyone is, okay. And
stay safe.
All right. We'll see you next week.